Appliance Discounters with six locations featuring the Art of Appliances by AD. Their amazing showrooms are full of creative, colorful appliances. The Appliance Discounters featuring lowest prices, best service, and biggest selection of any appliance distributor in St. Louis. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m. And they service everything that they sell. Of course, when you buy from Appliance Discounters, you are buying from locally owned operators. Their motto, our savings are your savings. Come by today for huge savings on the full line of Bosch appliances with free installation specials on select models and rebates up to 15% of your entire purchase. All of that information available on their outstanding website, theappliancediscounters.com. From the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn, and just around the corner is hour number two of the Large Warning Show in the Afternoon with Frank O'Pinion.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Wow, has it really been 10 years? Denise from Appliance Discounters here to tell you that time really does fly when you're having fun. My brother Tony and I started out with one location and one appliance line and have now grown to six locations, a variety of appliance lines, including GE, and an amazing Appliance Discounters family. We love serving the St. Louis area and are so grateful for the customers that have put their trust in us. We know you can shop anywhere, but at Appliance Discounters, we'll always treat you right. Thank you to our customers for 10 successful years, and we look forward to many more to come.
Looking for baseball and softball training for all ages? Time to head to Champions Village, a one-stop shop for young athletes with a 35,000 square foot facility stacked with the newest, most innovative tech like hit tracks and a full infield. And now open, Prime Sports, your new go-to brick and mortar retail and spirit store located on site with training from former pros, STL Athletic Development, and Napudi Sports Enhancement also on campus. Champions Village has everything you need under one roof. Check us out at championsvillage.net.
Barley is the soul of Budweiser. That's why we've been working with the same family-owned American farms for more than 50 years to harvest. The secrets to growing this grain perfectly have been passed down through three generations. For them, it's a legacy. And it's why only the best barley and locally sourced ingredients are used to make Budweiser. Budweiser is proudly raised across America. This Bud's from our barley farmers. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Guys, the holidays are upon us. Don't wait till the last minute to get your girl something. And let's be honest here, you've got nothing so far.
You know that feeling, right, Cam?
Yes.
Diana Neustetter here with my daughter, Mariah, telling you guys that just like we helped Cam, our professional team has you covered.
Check us out at wowdiamonds.com or visit us at the corner of Doherty Ferry and Big Ben and see our inventory with items for everyone at any budget.
Neustetter's Fine Jewelry.
We know what women want.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
So, I like it. I'd ask you folks to give me a couple of minutes to try to explain to you why it's not a good idea to put off having your eyes checked. And I don't mean having your eyes checked to see if you need a stronger prescription for your glasses. You know, is this better? Is this better? One or two? This or this? Read the third line from the bottom. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that many of you have never had done before. And many of you will be sorry that you didn't, because by the time somebody takes a really good look at your eyes, it'll be too late for some of you. You know, advanced macular degeneration or whatever, and had you caught it earlier and had it dealt with, maybe things should be different. Let's not let that happen. There's no benefit to waiting. You know, I started off when I talked about Brenton Vision, I started off by saying everybody over 40 should have your eyes really thoroughly examined. I don't mean examination like, can you see this or can you see this? I mean pictures, topographical images of the condition of your eye, the shape of your eye, your cornea, your lens, everything. And that's what they can do in 90 minutes. And it takes 90 minutes to do it and do it right and do it thoroughly. And that only costs $120. And if you have a procedure that you decide to go with, that'll be applied to the procedure. So let's just talk for a second about the fact that, yes, the Dr. Brenton and his team do lots of LASIK procedures. Lots of people do LASIK. Be very, very careful who you let perform LASIK, because there are doctors who will perform LASIK on people who are not good candidates. There are other doctors who will tell you you're not a good candidate when you may in fact be. The one thing that Dr. Brenton and his staff will never do is tell someone they're a good candidate when they're not. That doesn't work well for anybody, and there's risk involved that they don't want to be a part of, and you certainly don't. If, let's say, you're not a candidate for LASIK, which has changed the lives of so many people. My son's had LASIK, Tiger. We think Tiger Woods would have LASIK if he in any way weren't comfortable with it and didn't think he were a good candidate. His whole career would have been ruined a long time ago. But let's say you're not. What most ophthalmologists won't tell you, because they don't perform the procedures, is that there are six other vision correction procedures. These are the procedures that, they're for people who maybe are too old or too young for LASIK, or maybe they have extreme astigmatism. Maybe they have really thick or thin corneas. Maybe they have some sort of other thing that traditional LASIK wouldn't be effective for. Well, there are six other procedures, and Dr. Brenton performs them all. So you need to know that. You also need to know this, that most insurance companies consider LASIK and pretty much other vision correction procedures to be elective. I don't agree with that, and I never have, but hey, that they just don't feel like, they should cover that. So in a lot of cases, most cases, they don't. In rare cases, there are exceptions, so you do need to consult your insurance company. But here's what you do need to know. Most laser vision correction procedures are tax deductible. The other thing you need to know is if you don't have the money, they couldn't make this easier financially for you. When I had my lenses replaced by Dr. Brenton 6 years ago, it was not inexpensive, and I opted for the 2-year zero interest plan. So I busted the payments up into 24 payments over 2 years. And if I had it to do over again, if it had cost three times what it cost, I would have still done it, because I've told you before, it changed my life. For the first time in my life, and it's been a long one, I don't have to wear glasses to do anything except read. Reading glasses. I can deal with that. So those are a few things that I want you to know. And the other thing is this. If everybody listening takes the attitude, well, that sounds like it's pretty important, I'll do that in a few years. If you all wait a few years, I won't be able to tell you about Brenton Vision anymore, because they're going to go, well, nobody's coming in. We're going to go off the air. Not a good idea for you or for us, or in any way is it a good idea. Folks, it's 90 minutes and $120, and wouldn't you love to know if you're a perfect candidate for one of the procedures that could let you get rid of your glasses or contacts for the rest of your life? I mean, my goodness, how great would that be? Wouldn't you like to know? I would, and I think most people would. So find out once and for all whether or not you're a candidate, not just for LASIK, but for one of the other vision corrective procedures or lens replacement. Brenton Vision, B-R-I-N-T-O-N, vision.com, or 314-375-2020 there in Creve Coeur, North New Ballas Road. And again, it's BrentonVision.com.
On this side of the law.
Oh, yeah.
On that side of the law.
Johnny Cash.
Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
I see someone who's very smart enough to jump in early and made note of the numbers and will be the first person to talk to Scott Sherman. Now, you could be the second or the third if you are smart enough to jump in now and call one of these two numbers, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. And now, attorney at law, Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, Frank, I have an announcement that's going to make Scott real happy. It's going to make everybody on this, almost everybody on this show real happy.
Okay.
There's a website, the state of Missouri treasurer's office. It's called showmemoney.com. And my former business partner, they list claims of people that they're holding money for. And my former business partner had a claim. They listed either under $10, between $10 and $20, between $20 and $30, between $30 and $40, or over $50. And my former business partner had a claim that just said over $50. Well, they ended up sending him a check for $1,300 because he had a stock dividend that his parents forgot about or whatever. So I was helping somebody out yesterday file a claim on this, and it turns out my stepfather and my stepbrother have multiple claims on this. I looked on this site today, and you, sir, Frank Opinion, have a claim on this site right now that you can file, and a check will be sent to you. I'm holding a check in my hand right now for a check they sent me for a claim that I had. Now, sometimes these checks are small, sometimes they're big. Your son, you have a claim right now that you can electronically file, and the state will send you a check. Your son Adam has three, and your son Austin has four.
Wow. Bill, and you know what the amount is?
I just know the increments of the amounts. Your son Adam has three claims, and the amounts are going to be somewhere total between $60 and $100. Your son Austin has four that will equal at least $40, and it could be more because when they say over 10 or between 10, 20, between 20 and 30, you kind of get a ballpark where they are. But Scott Sherman, my man sitting next to me to the left here,
yeah.
Do you realize how many claims you have on this site?
No.
I'm going to tell you right now. You've got, Scott Sherman, attorney on South Bemiston, you've got several for over 50, several between 30 and 40, several between 10 and 20. You've got about 20 claims on this site.
Whoa.
Wow, dude.
Now, how does that happen? How does that happen that you have 20 claims? How does that?
It could be a bank account you didn't close properly or interest that was applied to your bank account. It could be a stock dividend. It could be a life insurance policy refund proceed. It could be the contents of a safe deposit box. It could be the contents of anything. Daniel J. Strauss, sir, you have a claim on the site.
I do.
Free money, free lunch.
Woohoo! It sounds to me like most everybody, if they checked into it, would have something.
I called John Hanley today. He's got three claims over $50 on the site. Tim McKernan, who does the morning show, he's got 35 claims on the site.
35?
Do I have any?
You are the only person on the show that does not.
Damn.
Even Bill Cleveland has one claim on here. Of course, it's only for 6 cents. But Dan Buff has got claims. Josh Bauman has claims. And Scott.
Holy cow.
I'm telling you right now, man, you got yourself a nice fat chunk of money that is a click of a mouse away on this website.
I knew.
Fantastic.
I knew that Hadley had some kind of claim on there. And mm-hmm. I called him at home, and he had his family at home, and they were all at home. And this is what it sounded like.
About 30 years ago, a listener contacted me and said, and this was out in St. Charles County. We used to live in St. Charles County, and they published the names, apparently, in a paper in the St. Charles of all the people who had money.
Once
so this listener contacted me and said, hey, your name is in this list. So mm-hmm. I looked, and I don't remember the process, but I made a call, and we went in. I got a check for $800. It's 30 years ago. It was like it went in the lottery for me. And it was from my wife, when she worked as a travel agent, apparently there was some sort of profit or something, and she never cashed it out or closed it out, and there was some interest that accrued. Next thing you know, boo-hoo, $800.
That's how it works.
So there's a pile of money sitting mm-hmm. in this, wherever this is,
hey,
that
Frank,
I guess at a certain point there's a statute of limitations.
You know,
where if you don't claim, I would think that they they get to do whatever.
You would think that would be the case, but I have a grandfather who died 15 years ago, and he still has one active claim on this site. So you would think at some point, if there's a proof of death certificate and nobody files a claim, money would go to charity or to some state-funded cause or something, but they don't. They just hold these millions and millions and millions of dollars out there. Wow. And I'll tell you what, I probably checked 15 people today, and I like struck out on like two. Like 13 out of 15 people that I checked today had at least one claim on this site. And the site is showmemoney.com, and everybody on the show except Trevor has a claim.
Well, then that tells me that probably most people have, whether it's $20 or $10 or $1,000, have something mm-hmm. they don't realize they have.
That's
Thank
right.
you, Tim.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And by the way, Limey, what was the question you asked me? Can you have mine?
Is that yeah, I mean, if you're not going to use them.
Why would you ask me that? Why would you assume I'm not going to use the money or get the money?
He just found out about it. Like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, why would you think
about it, has he? You know? I mean,
well, hold on. How could I have done something about it in 30 seconds sitting here on the show? Why would you think that I wouldn't want the money?
If anybody would get anything, it would be Tim. And he's not getting anything, so you're not getting anything.
Fine.
No, do you know why I think you said that? I think you assume that whatever amount it is, if it's $100, I don't need it. It's $100. Am I right? I don't need it.
No,
so can you have it?
I just figured I'd ask you. I know Tim would say no.
Well, why didn't you ask Dan if you could have his money, or why didn't you ask Scott if you could have his money?
Why didn't you ask me? Now I'm insulted that you asked Frank and not me. I have
more
claims
than
Frank.
You didn't ask them if you could have their money.
I think you.
I think Limey assumes that I have so much money.
That's right.
That I just don't need it.
Yeah, and I'm at the kids' table again. Hey, Limey, ask me if you can have some of my money. I'm an adult. I'm old. Ask me if I can have some.
Scott, can I have some of your money?
Of course not.
All right.
No.
You can't have Frank's either.
I wonder why.
All right, now we have a line open. Let's close that up and get started with
Tim.
Scott, how are you?
I'm great. And you know what, Tim? I'm going to share some of this with you.
No, I don't want any of it.
I would not have had it. Look, if not for you, I would have had no idea. So I'm
put it toward your. If you
Tim, 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 out, Tim, 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 you're making a mistake here.
Take the money.
No, you're making a mistake because I can follow up what Scott's saying with this to the listeners. Anybody out there who is clueless about this until you heard Tim talk about it and you find out you got money, I think a nice gesture would be that anybody listening shoot maybe 2%, 5% of it to Tim. Tim,
I was
going to
say
a lot of money this way. 10%, because they got 90% of something they wouldn't have had otherwise because they wouldn't know about it.
Tim, I
say
had no idea.
Modesty is fine in some cases.
It would go right to charity if somebody sent me that.
You know why he said no, Frank? He knows the increments of the dollar amounts I'm getting. It's like $20.
No, you're not. Yeah. Well, look at this, Scott. Over 50. Scott E. Sherman, over 50. Scott Sherman,
by this.
Over 50, over 50, over 50. 30 to 40.
Should we help some people
40.
With legal problems?
No idea. Thank
hey,
you.
Give the website out again, Tim.
Showmemoney.com.
Showmemoney.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Marsh has been patiently waiting. There's one line open, 855-282. Thank you, Tim. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. There's a line open. Jump it on. If you're smart, you'll jump on it. Marsha, thank you for being so patient. Welcome to 590. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Marsha. How are you?
Yeah, can you hear me? Fine. Hey, you guys talked about this before, the GPS trackers on vehicles, but this is what happened to my daughter. Not sure what to do about this. She wanted a 2020 Dodge Durango SRT. She went to a local dealer. She ordered the vehicle. They didn't sell her anything. She went to them and said, I want this vehicle. Order this for me. So she picked out all of her options. They ordered the vehicle. She waited a couple months. It came in. So she's had it about a month, and she kept hearing a rattle underneath the dash. Well, she took it to a new dealer that's closer to her house, and they looked at it, and they said, well, you have an external GPS tracker up there making all that noise. So she kind of freaked out, and they said some dealers put those on there. So she goes and calls the other dealer. But in the meantime, let me back up a minute. She checked for all her paperwork to find out did they put that on there, and should I have known about it, whatever. Nowhere on there was it mentioned because she, again, she ordered the vehicle. She picked her options. In the process of checking for the GPS tracker, she finds they charged her $394 for that tracker. And the biggest kicker is they also charged her for a $2,300 warranty that she did not ask for, because the loan is 60 months. It's a 72-month loan warranty. So she clearly didn't ask for that, told them she didn't want it, extended warranty. So she calls the dealer she bought got the vehicle from. Again, they didn't sell it. She ordered it. She calls that dealer. They said, well, you know, I don't know what happened. We'll see what we can do. And they said, but the UPS tracker, or the GPS tracker, that's installed, so there's nothing we can do about that. And she goes, well, lucky for you, the other dealer took it off, and I'm holding it in my hand. You can have it back. I want my $394 back. And they said, well, we pay for the monthly services since it's already activated. Yeah, they're saying, no, we can't do anything about that because we're paying for the service. And she goes, well, since I didn't ask for it and I wasn't told it was even on my vehicle, she is furious, not to mention about the extended warranty. And they're trying to screw around on that as well.
Okay, but as she should be. As she should be furious. Okay. I'm not the attorney here. We did, and I don't know what conclusion we came to, but I'm gonna let Scott have this after I say this. I'm gonna put myself in your daughter's place. Like, I'm the customer. I would raise all kinds of cane over this, because unless in her bill of sale or sales contract, it states in there, by signing this bill of sale and this contract, you agree to extended warranty and to have a GPS tracker put in. But even then, if it's buried in there somewhere and it wasn't discussed, I think she's got a real good reason to go to the TV stations and go, you might want to do a special local news story on this dealership and let them know you're doing that and get an attorney. Here's Scott.
I agree with that. Yeah. And Marcia, I'm having this issue reviewed for the caller a few months ago. And the people that are reviewing it, they look at it two ways. One, this could be a national program where there are hundreds of thousands of people that have this, and there could be a class action. Or it could be, and I think it's egregious, just so you know. Or it could be a violation of, is in this dealership on the Missouri or Illinois side of the river.
Missouri.
Under the Missouri Merchandise Practices Act, the MMPA, there is a law that compensates consumers when they are basically ripped off by someone who sells a good or a service. The fact that your daughter was never told that this was in her vehicle, that she was charged for this in her vehicle, it's a hidden cost, as though if you went to buy, I don't know, a pair of socks, and hidden in that would be some tracking device, and then they charge you for it. So it's outrageous, and it might be a violation of the MMPA. If you don't mind, the only mistake so far is that your daughter doesn't have that thing in her possession to know what the serial number and all that else is.
Yes, she does.
Oh,
she
good. Does. Well, then that's not a mistake. Yes. If you don't mind telling her, I'd be interested in having that reviewed by the same people reviewing the other issue with the Jeep dealership. Maybe now it's a lot more common that we know. Maybe this is, you know, the Larger Morning Show has exposed this this sort of scam.
Marcia, did your daughter ask him what's the point of the GPS? Why would you find it acceptable? Why would you be trying to know exactly where my daughter is going? Did she ask that? That's what I'd want to know. Why do you want to know where I go every day?
The dealership that she bought the vehicle from, she didn't ask them, but the dealership that removed it, she asked them, said, well, what in the world, where would that have came from? And they said, some dealers put that on there so that they will know when you need an oil change or when your light is on. So
no.
They will email you and go, oh.
No.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's BS. That's complete BS. Is this a new vehicle?
That's a good question.
It's a 2020 Dodge Durango.
Yeah, no, then it's complete BS, because they don't have to add anything on for that information to be available.
Nonsense. Frank's point is a good point, because at a lot of buy here, pay here, or where it's dealer finance, they will install a tracker, so when they don't make the payment, they know where the car is.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal.
That all has to be disclosed. Now, Tim and I have had a bit of a debate back and forth, and I think there's a middle ground between the two of us where just driving around, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But in your garage, or if you go somewhere private, it also could be an invasion of privacy. They have no reason, legitimately, to put that device on that vehicle. And if they not only don't have that, but then they don't disclose it, I think it's an MMPA violation and privacy. It's two different issues. And Tim's right about, well, in my mind, not much, but he's 100% right about the law on installing these tracking devices for being on the public roads. But at the point of sale, when the dealership that puts that on charges you money without disclosing it to you, and you don't sign off on that, and they don't disclose it to you, that's, to me, litigation worthy and disgraceful.
Here's what's confounding to me about this woman's call and the caller a couple of weeks ago. I put these devices on and take them off people's cars all the time. I've been sitting here texting one of my employees right now about one we have to take off tonight and another one that we have to put on tonight. These things are battery operated unless they're hardwired into your car. So if you're telling me, ma'am, that you took your car into a service change, oil service place or wherever, and they found a removable device from your car, at some point, the battery on it has to die because they're motion-activated batteries, unless it's hardwired in your car, in which they would have no way it's in there unless they took your manifold off.
The Jeep owner, I think it's Jerry.
Right,
It was wired into, and it was right. And the only reason he knew about it was because it was interrupting his navigation system and his entertainment
system.
How
did this woman know?
It was rattling.
It came loose. It was hardwired. It came loose.
Under the dash. No, she told us in the beginning she heard it rattle.
All right, my bad. I didn't hear that.
So, Marcia, did you know whether or not it was hardwired or just stuck up there battery operated? Do you know?
I'll ask her. I don't know, but I think she has an appointment with the dealer that sold her the vehicle to go in there tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
I would demand a meeting with the owner of that car dealership, unless the owner's out of town, if not the general manager, and I would raise all kinds of cane, and I'd do it loudly in front of other customers, and sometime, you can't sit back and let this. People pull this, this is no different than if she had ordered the car and it came in and they took it in the back and put tinted windows on it, dark tinted windows.
Right.
And then she goes to pick it up and go, hey, wait a second, I didn't order it. Well, too bad, they're in there now. No, that's not acceptable.
That's another thing. It's after she got to looking at the sales contract, and I work for a law firm, and Scott knows which one. I said, did you not look at that sales contract when you bought the vehicle? She said it was really strange because this guy's desk, it wasn't I was looking at a screen. His entire desk lit up, and we were looking at that, and it was so confusing. It wasn't like a piece of paper in front of you or a computer screen. And so she said, I didn't see half of that stuff. But when they sent her the paperwork after the fact, then she saw the rat, you know, heard the rattle, whatever. But anyway, on there,
you did it.
There was pinstriping. Also on there, they charged her for pinstriping she does not have, a wheel lock she did not get, and they charged her, on top of everything, $5 for a temporary tag that she didn't ask for, nor did she receive. So it all totals a little over $3,000 that they really screwed her out of.
No, I'd say, please show me exactly where you have my authorization where I ordered these things.
Marcia, take pictures of this device. Do not bring the device back or it will disappear. And also tape record the conversation. It's a one-party state, Missouri. You don't need their consent, and you don't want them because, you know, look, they can't be trusted to not put something on and charge you without telling you. You want to make a record of it, and if they start hemming and hawing or saying anything other than, yes, ma'am, we'll take care of it, I think that this is consumer law and also class action review worthy.
And I had, as a juicy little sidebar on this, I had a St. Charles County detective knock on my front door at my house about 3 months ago because there's a young man who interviewed me to hire me as a PI who I didn't take any money from and didn't take him as a client, but my phone number was in his phone records. He himself installed a GPS tracking device on a girl's car that he was enamored with, and then he threatened her. And the St. Charles County prosecutor, Tim Lomar's office, charged him with felony stalking with the GPS device as an aggravator as to how he knew where she was in order to be able to threaten her in the first place. In Illinois, a legislator passed into law 2 years ago that it's illegal to place a device on somebody's car unless they're the title holder of the car. One person has to have knowledge, because somebody stalked a girl and assaulted her in Illinois, and one legislator got it passed through. But no legislator in Missouri has of yet gone through the process of trying to enable this into a law, and so therefore the baseline is there is no law. You can't break a law in Missouri if there is no law. But they did use it as an aggravator in St. Charles.
Marcia, yeah. The other thing, I want your daughter. I don't know how comfortable your daughter is with confrontation, but she needs to stiffen up her spine and walk in and get to the top person at the dealership and say, let me ask you a question. Would you have done this same thing if I'd been a male customer? Lay the sexism thing on them and then say, I am in the process of contacting, and I'm going to go back to this because it works. I'm in the process of contacting right now all of the local TV stations. Each one has an investigative team, and they love for the evening news to feature people like you so we can warn other people. They will not like that, and I think they'll do whatever they have to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
I already told her that I have her back, and I'll bail her out of jail, whatever it takes.
Well,
she won't go to jail.
And Marcia, if you guys are interested, send me an email. We can have an off the air conversation. Frank's absolutely right, and I'm going to be having a conversation with one of the investigators for one of the stations about some other issue, and I'm sure this person would love to hear this story too, but not without your permission, especially your daughter's permission. But make sure this is all taped, because they will change their story, because they've already installed something and charged her something without her knowledge, so they cannot be trusted.
Okay, one other thing, that extended warranty, they said we can take care of that. We can go back to the bank and take it off.
I wouldn't even talk to them about it. Here's what I would do. That's a class action deal. I'd have people reviewing that too. Don't make any deals with these people, except ask what Frank asked, and ask this: what legitimate purpose could you possibly have in A, putting that on my vehicle, and B, not telling me about it?
Yeah, and if I'd been a man, would you do it? And here's one other thing, Marcia. You say you'll record the conversation. How will you do that? How will you record it?
Well, I have a voice recorder on my phone. I'm sure my daughter...
Have her put it on her phone, because it involves her.
Is it on your cell phone?
It's on my cell phone, yeah.
Let me ask you about that. What do you use? Is it an app?
Yeah, it's just an app.
iPhones come with a device that does that.
Yeah, so
No. Hold on. They don't come with a device that records phone conversations.
Android...
No.
It just records... Like, I take it when my mom was in the hospital, and the doctor was telling us all these...
Okay, but my question is, how are you going to record this phone conversation?
Oh, phone call.
Oh, she's going there. She's supposed to be going there.
She's going in person.
Okay, but here's another suggestion. If you're on the phone with these people, these knuckleheads, do it when your daughter is also there with her phone, and have a speaker on, and use your daughter's phone to record the phone conversation, because that is perfectly legal. And most people don't know how to do it, because without an app, and they're really complicated and goofy and they don't work. The only other way to do it is right there with it on speaker, hit the record app on your daughter's phone and record both ends of that conversation, yours and the voice coming out of that speaker, as well as any meeting in the office. Cover yourself, okay?
Now, when she goes to the meeting tomorrow, is it okay that she gives them back that device?
I would never give them back that device. No. Take pictures
like
of
Scott
the device
said,
and email them to them.
Like it'll Scott have, said, it'll disappear. No. They'll act like they don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
What device?
That device needs to be under lock and key somewhere where nobody but you and her know where it is. Take pictures of it. If they want to see it, you can email it.
If they ask you, they know what it looks like. They installed it. Marsh, if they ask you, where's the device right now, say, my attorney has it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you say.
Hey, bring it by the office.
All right. All right, Marsha. Good luck. Thank you. That's a good one.
Man, doesn't that just boil your blood?
That's a good one.
How dare they?
Let's get to. We have a line open now because Marcia just cleared a line. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Scott, thanks for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing fantastic. Hello, gang.
Scott?
That was a long conversation before. In a nutshell, I let somebody use my Best Buy card to purchase a PS4 and $580 worth of stuff. He's made $130 in payments, and 29% interest is going to kick in soon. He's not making payments. How can I? What can I do,
Frank?
Let me start by saying, who is this person? Is this a relative, a friend, coworker?
It's a friend of a friend. The other friend I let also use my card to purchase stuff, and he's been making payments. He's, you know, through metal stuff and.
Yeah. Well, big lesson learned here. Yeah, this is not your friend. Yeah. This is a friend of your friend, right?
That's correct. Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, well, now you know better than never do that again. Any paperwork? Is there a written contract? Do you have any paperwork? Did they sign?
No, that means nothing like that. But the receipt has the serial number. I mean, it's in my name, but it's his possessions.
Okay, Scott, I know where Scott's going to tell you. But
Scott, you gave him permission, so it's not fraudulent. Did he have permission to purchase this item, or did you give him a limit? Hey, you know,
I was with him.
You were with him? Okay. So you have a claim for the amount he hasn't paid you back for breach of contract because it was implied that he was going to pay you back. He kept the device, right? That interest rate, I assume that interest rate is your credit card interest rate?
That is correct.
That's your problem with them, and you're never going to get this back. So
no.
It's a $500 lesson right now. I mean, if you want to take them to small claims court, you probably win this thing.
Scott, here's the problem. If you went to court and wasted the time and money to do it, you know what he's going to say in front of the judge? He's going to say, must have been some miscommunication here. I was under the impression he was just buying this for me. It's on his card, and it was a gift.
Yeah,
I had no idea that he thought I was borrowing money.
Except for the friend of a friend has started to pay him back a little bit. I think he did.
And I've got a trail of text messages.
Yeah, you do have writings, but this is how this needs to happen in the future. I don't know, nor really care, why you would let someone use your credit card, especially when you're standing there. Don't ever let anyone use your credit card ever. If you want to buy this guy a thing, buy him and give it to him as a gift, or if you want to make a loan deal, have it in writing, email, text message, and then if he doesn't pay you, this is what happens to people in business all the time. The cost of time and money. It's a $500 lesson. If he pays you back anything, fantastic. If not, he ain't your friend. And
Scott, what evidence or receipts do you have that he actually has partially paid you back? Do you have any paper? Or is it cash?
Well, the text messages, and I take a picture of the receipt and send it to him to prove that I paid off on his part.
The receipt that you paid doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean squat. Do you have anything from him, any hard paper evidence from him, a check or something? Here's a partial payment for what I owe you? No. Okay, well,
no.
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, this is not looking good for you. Yeah. And
it's not really a $530 problem. It's a $530 problem at 29% interest per year problem. You would have better off giving him cash and letting him do whatever he wanted to do with it and just write it off.
I'm going to take out a loan to pay off all the stuff and just have one payment.
Holy
I appreciate the
good
help,
luck.
Scott. Gang, I've been listening for, 24 and a half years. You guys
thank
are great.
You.
I appreciate
no, thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Scott, here's if this is any consolation to you, if this is any consolation, I think I heard you underneath us all talking over each other use the words too nice. There is such a thing. There is such a thing as being too nice. I've done it, and I got burned every time I did it. And to your credit, that's not a bad thing to be too nice, except in a case like this. And then it just doesn't, it's still not necessarily bad, it's just costly. So you learned a lesson, and it's not going to be worth the time or money to go after, it'll cost you even more. Okay?
I want to say go blues.
Go blues.
All right, you can say that.
Go blues.
All right, I got to move along.
You guys have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Scott.
And Frank, you know, I don't know, I've learned this lesson, or maybe not even learned it, but don't ever loan anybody any money you're not willing to just lose, because they're not going to.
You've got to think of it as a gift.
And I'll add on to that. I just recently went through a small claims court issue. The one thing you didn't talk about a whole lot, he kept saying, I have text. Judges will look at that as evidence, you know, in small claims court. But I'll tell you what, if you take somebody to small claims court in St. Louis, and I learned this lesson the really hard way, You better make sure that you have the ability to present everything you have to say in less than 5 minutes, because they're not going to sit there and listen to you talk for an hour. You got 5 minutes to make your case and be prepared to do it in that amount of time.
Okay, the reason I didn't jump on the I Have Text is this. We don't know the context. We don't know what the text say. If the text said something like, hey, he sent you some money, that doesn't say I sent you some money on a loan that I took out from you. So unless we know what the text say, mm-hmm. word for word, the text may not mean anything. They could just be vague. You know, hey, thanks, buddy. For what? I mean, I don't know.
Well, fair enough. Or they could mean everything in the opposite context.
Okay, let's go to Carl. There's a line open because we helped Scott, so now we have a line open where he can maybe help you. 855-282, what time? Yeah, we got 10 minutes left here. 28, let me start over. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Carl, you're next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
Good. Yeah, so my question, and I let this last. I just heard you guys talking about the money locked up in Missouri. And on a sad note, but it's been 2011, but my ex-wife at the time had passed away, and she was remarried. And she has a son, which I got and ended up getting custody after the fact when she passed away. If she has money locked up in her name, can my son go after that because of his last name, or is that just kind of
yes.
in the water from getting that money?
Yeah, there's,
I don't even know.
There's a form on there where she can claim to be his heir, and that sometimes they make you. Sometimes you can e-file these claims, and sometimes you have to print them out.
She can claim to be his heir. Wouldn't he be her heir?
I must have misheard him. I thought he said she was his daughter.
Oh no,
son.
Carl's son,
mm-hmm. his late mother, Carl's yeah. son, mm-hmm. who is the heir of Carl's late ex-wife, mm-hmm. could make the claim
correct.
Under intestacy that proved that they were that he was the child of this woman and claim through that.
I've helped people
now,
do
does
that.
He have a, does he have to have a death certificate or something? That's what I heard.
Yeah, too. And if you, and that, just so you know, on death certificates, there's a place that's over on Airport Road and 170 that's the St. Louis, and I don't know why I assume it's St. Louis County, but if you go over there, you can get a death certificate in a minute. As long okay. as you can show that you've got a relationship. Just go in person. You can do it through the mail, but go in person and get a death certificate. But you're going to have to prove, A, that person is deceased, and, B, that you're related to them in the intestacy legacy statute.
Okay. All right. Very good.
All right, Carl. Couldn't that be a better name than intestacy? That sounds like, you know, bowels or something.
Really lower, actually.
Intestacies. We have a line open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. I'm looking at the clock. We can help one, maybe even two people, so let's keep moving. Mark, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have a patent on a cargo carrier for an ATV. And I receive a royalty off of it, off of each one that's sold. It's manufactured here in the United States, but when I go online, all these numerous outlets that are selling them, and I've called and they'll have 100 of them in stock or 90 in stock, they're all made in China. And what they have done, they've actually taken the photos that my manufacturer used, and they've just removed their name, the manufacturing name, and it's just blank. There's nothing there. So they're producing these in China. I'm getting nothing off of them. And I was just wondering, is it worthwhile even pursuing? Because how do you do that when we're dealing with China?
Frank, do you want this one?
No, we're short on time. Yeah, I'm going to let you take this. This is a good
one. Mark, this is one of the banes of the existence of people in the intellectual property community. China has been ripping off owners of patents and trademarks for the longest time, and there is nothing that has been done to this date. And supposedly and hopefully there can be some kind of action taken, but for right now I would have you talk to a patent or intellectual property lawyer. But stealing patents and using those without paying royalties is China's game right now, and it's a disgrace, and it's one of the things that was supposed to be changed, and it's not.
And by the way,
changed.
Mark, if companies as big as Louis Vuitton and Gucci and Rolex can't stop and shut down these Chinese places that are making incredible copies that aren't the real thing, I doubt that you're going to be able to stop them with a cargo carrier. It's a big business.
It's going to have to be part of a trade negotiation agreement with China, because there's nothing a U.S. court's going to be able to do to a Chinese company or the Chinese government that actually orders these kinds of rip-offs and orchestrates them. So it's not just the companies in China, it's the government in China, and until the trade agreements address these things, you'd be throwing money kind of out the door. But I think you should spend a couple hundred bucks maybe talking to a IP lawyer to see what, if anything, can be done in case the in the chain of sort of sale and custody in the chain of commerce, once it hits the U.S., if there's something that you can do with a middle person or some kind of import place or something. But it's not...
I think Mark would be starting what would be the beginning of a long list of very big legal bills.
I wanted to cap it at $200 just to get the information.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd take a lot more. That'd get started, but I think it'd take good. Well, Mark, you're unfortunately, you came up with something that was so good, so attractive, so desirable that somebody else decided they'd steal it from you. And I'm sorry that happens, but it does.
Get the non-Chinese companies. That aren't
go after them. Go yeah. after them.
Right.
Yeah. All right. All right, Mark. Good luck.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. I think we can help one more person. This person has 3 minutes. Her name or his name is Jerry. I'm going to go with female Jerry. Jerry, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, friends. You're wonderful.
Thank you. You have 3 minutes. It's yours. Go.
Okay. I'm in a really tight situation here. My ex-husband passed away, and in our divorce decree, it says that Jerry gets half the guns, half the price of the guns, if he sells any. He passed away. My kids are now in possession of the guns. They've already put some stuff in probate. Am I entitled to this? These guns?
No. No. If it says you get half if he sells them, he didn't sell them, right?
That.
Right?
But
Jerry?
Yes.
No, but he didn't sell them, correct?
No, they're not sold.
You get nothing.
My possession.
No, you get nothing. Because it says you get half if he sells them.
It's a contingent arrangement. If it happens, you do. If it doesn't happen, you don't. It didn't happen. So at some point, somebody in his either will or in the intestacy statute, they're going to get their hands on these guns, and that ain't going to be you. Unless he left them to you in his will, which is doubtful. So
yeah, he sold them before he died, but he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the court could have ordered him to sell them, but it didn't. It put a contingency
wording that never occurred. Wording is everything. Okay. It's everything. How much do you think you're talking about here, Jerry? Half the value of the guns.
He has at least between 40 and 50 guns. He has an arsenal.
Okay, that's not really an arsenal. I have about 90 guns, and all together. No. Unless they're, are they really valuable collectible guns, or are they just guns?
They're just guns.
No, they're not worth that much. They're just not.
And then, on top of that, my name's on all the permits, because I used to have to go down and when he bought one, so my name is on all the permits.
That in itself doesn't mean anything, because you could have just given them to him after you bought them. So I think you're out, as Scott likes to say, so bad, too bad, so sad. Or
too bad, so sad. And I'll give you another one. If my aunt had, you know what, she'd be my uncle. But she doesn't.
Oh, that's a good one.
She's not.
That's an old one. Sorry, Jerry, but the good news is it's not like they're worth, you know, $500,000 or anything.
Next time you get divorced, Jerry, don't have a contingency agreement in your decree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or make sure it's stated differently. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for calling.
All right,
we appreciate
thank you so much.
We didn't ask too many people this or any, actually. It's unusual. We've never had an hour where we didn't ask, but we'll ask you to give them your email address.
Absolutely. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
And Scott, would you call me, please, tonight? I'm not going to get into your horrible phone response habits, but please call me tonight, okay?
You got it.
All right. There you go. Let's thank Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Attorney at law.
Scott Sherman. I think you know what's next. It's called The Playhouse and everything that goes with it. So stick around. Thanks for being with us. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says Democrats have never gotten over the election of President Trump.
Democrats have never got over the fact that this new guy who's never been in this town, never been in politics, this new guy came in here and is shaking this place up, and that drives them crazy. They've never accepted the will of 63 million Americans. They've never accepted the fact that Donald Trump won an electoral college landslide.
After the fifth day of House impeachment hearings, Jordan argued that Dems are determined to do whatever it takes to get rid of Trump. He also criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for calling Trump an imposter this past weekend. Democrats accused Trump of delaying vital military aid to Ukraine while pressing the Ukrainians to investigate Democrats. California Democrat Adam Schiff thinks some